The Indian Subcontinent, A Few Tourist Tips. By Godfrey Bloom. Image. India, by Brian Ledgard. As a relatively regular visitor to the Indian subcontinent on political, commercial or military business, many friends ask me for some tips when they are planning a trip. I never visit any country, regardless of where it is, without being part tourist. It is easy to look back on a life of business travel to find you saw nothing, experienced nothing, and made no friends. An easy mistake to make in the modern world. I therefore make some observations for those interested travelers to make up their own mind. I must declare an interest, I love India warts and all. In no order of priority then. The people. In my experience, the people are relentlessly cheerful and colorful. It matters not, it seems, where they stand in the somewhat formulaic hierarchy. Moreover, take no notice of BBC celebrity historians or documentary presenters. Indians outside the political world take a not dissimilar view of the Raj to that which we take of the Roman Empire, like the curate's egg, it was good in parts. The British mapped India, built railways, sewage and irrigation systems, introduced widespread tea planting, gave the current India parliamentary democracy, and the greatest bonus of all, English as one of the official languages. The subcontinent has 1500 languages and dialects. The armed forces are on the British model, as are most hospitals. In short, therefore, the British are generally well regarded. The English language gives us a magnificent opportunity to make friends at most levels outside the poor rural areas. Even then you will be made embarrassingly welcome by their generosity. The Indian subcontinent is massive. Like America, the indigenous population vary. Don't mistake perfect English for a mutually shared view of the world. It is always dangerous to generalize, but in the main the people of the subcontinent are cheerful, positive, colorful and fatalistic. Like many hot places, the pace is slower. This is universally true whether it be Southern Europe or the United States south of the Mason-Dixon line. The gap is the separating rural and city life. You have to just accept it, frustrating though it sometimes can be. Religion plays a big part in the lives of the population, and there are many of them. Bone up on them. There is a terrible temptation in Britain to assume that the subcontinent's various religions are somehow broadly the same, like divisions of Christianity. This kind of ignorance can cause offense. Make an effort. The Indian experience. As a tourist, India is a place you experience, you soak it up through the pores. It is more of a time capsule than a destination. You can be absorbing modern Indian society in a Bangalore bar one day, enjoying 1930s Raj in the Royal Bombay Yacht Club another, should you be fortunate enough to be a member, or find your way down the Delhi Rajasthan road where snake charmers, fake ears and dancing bears transport you to a pre-Raj era. You will find wealth and squalor side by side. It is essential to leave your Western liberal prejudices behind. Far too many TV travelers fail to do this. You cannot put a Western template on India or its history. So don't try. You will embarrass your hosts if you carry an unnecessary ostentatious burden of post-colonial guilt around with you. Tourist tips. You can get a driver for the day inexpensively by European standards. He will know his patch and can get better prices for you on presents for home. An ideal combination is a Hindu guide and Sikh driver. Sikhs make safer drivers as they're less fatalistic about crashing. There are still Raj Sahib prices. A good guide is essential. Your hotel concierge will put you right. Befriend him if you can. Germans often fail to do this and still click their fingers. That will get you nowhere. Travel on trains where you can. It is part of the experience. Your concierge will send the boy to get the tickets. You won't manage it because queuing is something they never picked up from the Raj. Travel first class always. The air conditions is essential. Food on the hoof will do you no harm. It will be freshly cooked. As always, be punctilious on water. Make sure it is genuine and avoid ice. A bottle of whiskey is always welcome as a gift. With the exception of Sikhs, it will be passed on as currency, not drunk. The British Sikh bond is particularly strong, forged over many generations. But the British have a strong bond with all the martial races. We have fought side by side in so many battles against a common foe. The Taj Mahal is one of the must-sees, but these days is very crowded and rather run down. The Golden Temple in Amritsar is another wonder of the world, but these and many other fabulous places are too widespread to do in one visit. Don't try and do India in one visit, impossible, it is just too vast. Stick to a schedule. Dress. Obviously it is hot. So daytime casual dress is essential. That doesn't mean dress like a tramp. Casual can still be smart. Don't do shorts in the restaurant. It will earn you well-disguised contempt. Look around. If jacket and tie is worn by locals in the evening, do likewise. Stout walking shoes are the right thing most of the time. Cotton floppy hats at all times in the sun. India is not the Mediterranean, you will turn into a lobster in no time even if it is hazy. Don't forget the afterbite ammonia stick. Tipping. Tip the same percent as you would in England. I always tip a concierge half up front, half later. How to insult an Indian concierge? Ask him if he speaks English. Don't over tip, it's vulgar. Keep plenty of small change. A bottle of whiskey is a very good present for all but Muslims. A few anecdotes, parables. I was on the veranda of a very pukka hotel in Agra and ordered a pot of tea. The majordomo was a Sikh, awesomely attired. I ordered the tea, he passed on the order to an underling, also pretty high in the pecking order. Tea never arrived, the order gave up steam halfway down the promotional ladder. The big guy in the turban on the door or gate is probably an ex-NCO in the Indian Army. They salute like us, not in the half-hearted theatrical style of our American cousins, gentlemen, remember your days in the school corps. Return it right and make an immediate ally. India is not Italy, Delhi is not Florence. Rushing about clicking your camera is not the way in India. The pace is painstakingly slow. As is New York in comparison with Santa Fe or London with Kilkenny. They don't do hurry, get your head around it before you set off or it will drive you mad. Try a practice run in an Tipperary village. I have sometimes written or emailed to an Indian hotel or club 6 or 7 times to confirm a table or room booking. Mostly they don't do confirmation, it just isn't part of their protocol. I found the same phenomenon in Washington. Just keep the copy of the correspondence from your end. The non-stop flushing lavatory in our Agra hotel prompted 4 visits to the desk to no avail. I hadn't projected enough sense of urgency. My Indian chum called for me later, I explained the problem. He held the desk clerk upside down and shook him by the ankles, metaphorically. The lavatory was fixed in minutes. No offense was taken by the clerk, you see. He didn't really think it was important because I asked him in the same way Sergeant Wilson, Dad's Army, would have done. When you get to your Indian airport destination, you will be met by a customs officer. He will take ages scanning your passport. You will wonder why. It is just his way of proving he exists in a nation of hundreds of millions. Not to you but to himself. Hierarchy is considered extremely important. He is marking his territory. We were entertained in rural India by a small farmer and his family, a wonderful experience. We were then shown around the village, which attracted a fair crowd of children. We called for tea with the local squire and mildly reprimanded for not making him our natural host. Taking the spouse. India is not for everyone. It is a Marmite experience. My wife and I simply adore the place. But if you go expecting it to be like Europe or America but hotter, it ain't. Bugs, snakes and Delhi belly. Take loads of whiskey and Imodium. If you can afford it, fly business class. Copyright Godfrey Bloom 2019.